Okay, cool, man. Good to have you here. So, hey guys, we're gonna go ahead and get this started. And today's focus is gonna be it's a guest presentation by Johnny Corson. Tell me if I'm pronouncing that. I am pronouncing that name right, correct, Johnny?
Corson, core of an apple, son of
Corson.
a mother.
Awesome. So I apologize. So Johnny Corson, and we brought him on. It was actually Antonio who clued me into him and shared some of his work with me, and I thought it was pretty cool. Great story. And so we're going to do I want to do a presentation, sort of a presentation, but no pressure, Johnny. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, in the military as well, and then kind of what led you to what you're doing with Killer Games. I don't know, is everybody else getting that kind of echo in the background? It just keeps going
Yes.
out. So weird. So just go with it for right now. Hopefully that stops. I'll mute my microphone as well when we get started. And then if that picks up at all, just feel free to pause for a second and then you can continue the presentation. Does that sound good, Johnny?
That sounds good. Thanks.
Cool, man. Well, I want to give the floor to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll get to Killer Games and how you built that.
Okay. So currently active duty. I'm active duty Navy enlisted. My job title right now is career counselor. So I've gotten to a point where they just let me start talking to people about, things to do, which is convenient because now as I'm starting a business and I'm also a pre-separation counselor. So as people come to me on their way out, 6, sometimes 12 months in advance, they say, "Hey, well, what are the options?" And I can give them a real life option and say, "Hey, this is what I'm doing right now, and I've got 3 years to go." So, I actually did that recently. A guy wanted to start. I work in a hospital, so a guy wanted to start a dental practice and wondered what he could do. So I sent him to Boost a Business, and on his way back, he said he got a 7(a) business loan, and he's rocking and rolling a year out from his from the end of his officer time. So.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about then with the creation of Pillar Games. What's the point? But before we even get to the point of it, well, maybe we start with the point and we backtrack to where the idea came from, or however you want to proceed with that. I'm interested in how this thing started.
Okay, so there's a pretty good story. I mean, it starts really when I was growing up. I just kind of had this entrepreneurial spirit. I was selling my shovel up in Alaska, trying to shovel snow for friends and family and neighbors, mowed some lawns, worked really young, 14 years old. I worked at McDonald's. I really don't mind working. I don't mind making money, and I love putting it to use. So after I joined the military, I realized that this isn't an opportunity for me to stop this entrepreneurial spirit of mine, or contain it at all. So I think it was about 2 years ago.
Muted. Unmuted.
The wind, like someone's driving.
Yeah, it's so weird. Sorry about that. It seems like it's happening every few minutes, so we'll just, I guess, go with it for now and then just pause when that happens and then we'll take it, pick it back up. Is that okay?
All right, sounds good. All
Cool.
right, so so I'm in Okinawa about 2 years ago, and
Muted.
or actually 3 years ago now. I'm studying for this qualification, Fleet Marine Force, and you said I needed some flashcards. I put together about 500 flashcards, and it was an opportunity for me to show my command that I could do this in a timely manner. And I did it in 3 months. It usually takes people, sometimes 9, 10 months to do this. And these flashcards really helped because I had 500 of them, and I just scrolled through this knowledge all day, any time I had a moment. So then I started making that flashcard game, or that flashcard studying experience into a game. And I had this little calculator next to me. I just hit +2 when I got a question right, and -1 or -2, whatever, when I got a question wrong. And so I gamified my study experience, and it really worked. And so after I got the qualification, it's pretty obvious, they put a pin on your chest, and you get to walk around and show everyone. Well, they got some people's attention, and they wanted to know how I did it so well. So I said, "Well, I just use these flashcards. That's about it." I didn't tell them that I'm pretty good at test taking and studying anyway, and presenting knowledge orally, which was part of the process, to a board. But they really liked my flashcards. So it happened once where a guy said, "Hey, can I get those flashcards?" And I thought to myself, well, no, because I had spent all this time putting this together, and it got me to where I needed to be. But this I could tell was valuable. So I sold it for $20. I sold a copy of it, obviously, a copy of 500 of them. And then I did that every so often to some people just to help them out. But then I kind of realized that I need to start putting my money to use. And so I decided I'd push forward with one of the options that I had. I had plenty of ideas in mind, real estate or other options, you know. And so I thought, okay, let's put this Pillar Games into action and really set forward in motion the things that I knew could be successful. So that's the genesis of Pillar Games, is my flashcards.
So where is that at right now? Where does this company or this product exist in the marketplace? Has it been launched yet, or are you working on the launch right now?
Not yet. We'll launch the product probably December 18th, and that'll be in conjunction with obviously the Christmas time frame. And then it's an academic game, so I'd like to time it with the time people are getting off of school for the winter break.
Cool. So what exactly, like, who, as far as your approach to this then, there's a few questions I want to ask, and then also, yeah, keep, you know, for everybody who's listening, you know, write down notes or questions you might have for Johnny as we go through this, but tell me a little bit about your process that went into actually building the deliverable, the whatever, the game or whatever it is. What's the thought process, and then how did you go about that?
Well, first of all, I thought it would be a tabletop game. So I thought what I would do is create a template, a platform where people could bring their own knowledge. Because at the same time, I had been having conversations with my wife in regards to homeschooling. And I thought, you know, what could I add to homeschooling? Well, this was all happening in one kind of time period. And I thought, well, what I could do is create this game. And then, you know, my wife could generate these flashcards as these kids are learning knowledge, and then they could play the game, and it would be just kind of a normal tabletop role-playing game where, you know, you have a storyline that it's the same storyline no matter what flashcards you put in front of them. So that was the idea, and what it took to get to were really all mobile and phone at this point except for Windows. Really what it took was for me to stop thinking on a limited basis, you know, because I kept thinking, well, I can't do that. I don't know anything about programming. I couldn't do that. So what I did is I kind of shut that voice up. I said, you know, let's just investigate and do some research. And an inordinate amount of research that I did led me to a programmer, to a budget that I thought was reasonable, and to what we have right now, which is our beta.
Do you have people actively engaged in the beta right now?
I have about 20 people, half of which are kids under the age of 16, I think is our oldest. But then the other 10 people, in fact, you know, I don't want to get into this too much now. You might have a whole segment on this later. But I have Fuhu's business development team, all five of them, beta testing my app.
Well, tell me about that. I think that's actually worthwhile to – because here's a question. So, and the reason I'm asking these questions is, and as you're listening, for those who are in the audience right now listening, for the group that's here, thinking in the context of like how does this apply to me? How does this apply to the product I'm creating or the service I'm creating? And the general trend is that pretty much any kind of business, whether product or service, it abides by a certain fundamentals, certain rules. We went over the Lean Canvas, for example. So when I asked about, you know, the process you went through, that's kind of what I'm getting at. And then when it comes to beta testers right now, tell me a little bit about that, because in my opinion, that seems like a sales or marketing channel, or eventually could be. So that's how you're testing it out with the beta testers, and they could eventually be your first customers. Is that how you perceive it? Is that how you're approaching it? Or what's your plan with those beta testers and then to expand to actually sell to users?
At first, what I wanted to do is narrow down my market to really the least common market. And what I realized was about 9 to 14 year old boy homeschool or home-based schooling children. And so that was the target market. So I'm shooting an arrow right now, and that's who I plan on hitting. Now, the general target is going to be everyone around there, obviously females and, you know, older or younger if they can read. But so that's what I did first, was I researched what market was underserved with the educational game that I was creating, and then I started from there. At that point, I kind of created a product and then pitched it to a couple people. And when I see people in my normal day, when I meet people or people that I know, if I know they have children about that age, I kind of just, hey, why don't you just take a look at this, tell me what you think. And one time, just to give you a quick story, one time a guy, I think he was about 13, 14-year-old, he was a boy, and he said, you know what, it's pretty cute. And I'm like, oh, my God, I need to change everything. I do not want a 14-year-old boy saying this is cute. You know, I want a game. I want them to look at it and say this is comparable to games I would play. You know, and so I changed a couple things, and I really kind of, as soon as he said that, my ears pinned back, and I asked him 100 questions after that. But I did get a lot of good feedback. Now, on the other side, the parents is really who I'm selling the product to. I'm right. So I reached out to them and said, you know, what are you looking for? Where do you go for this information? And the beta test is, at this point, more for function and business than it is for users, since we've gotten to the point where we're launching on so many platforms. Fuhu, now, that's a company. It's number one on Inc. 5000's list. They create the Nabi tablet, and that's a tablet design. It's a whole series of tablets designed for kids from 3 years old all the way up to now, you know, teenagers. So their business development team I met through an opportunity I had to go to the Inc. 5000 conference, and I could, you know, regale you with the story of meeting Jim Mitchell. Shook his hand, pitched him my game, he got me an introduction, and they'll feature my game on their tablet for Christmas.
That's awesome. So as far as the wheeling and dealing, as much as you can share with us, you know, how much of this is, are there any situations where you have to, you know, put down cash to make this happen, or is this kind of a mutually beneficial exchange that they want to highlight you and, you know, something like that? It's also up to you how much you want to share in that context.
Yeah, so no cash was exchanged, not for this, but I think I thought at first that it would be dependent on a on an exclusivity. And really, it was interesting how I assumed that. And when I brought that up, kind of, hey, what do you want to put on paper? They were like, oh, nothing. You know, they're like, no, we don't need anything on paper. So really, I think what it is they had an opportunity to get in pretty early and to mold the product shape it in a way that it would really be received by their audience. So I think that the easiest thing for them to do was to feature me on their app store. It might not be the front page, you know, you may have to swipe through a couple on the top, but still it's there, and that was easy for them. I think the fact that I was military really struck Mr. Mitchell, and in meeting him, he had an opportunity in our exchange to answer a phone call and, you know, kind of leave and say, hey, nice to meet you, just before I pitched him my game. And there was a moment where I thought, you know what, he could just leave, and I'd lose all this. But you know what he did? He just handed his phone off to his assistant and said, why don't you take this phone call? I'm going to listen to this gentleman's pitch. And I think the only reason he did that was because I said, you know what, my name is Johnny Corson. I'm active duty military. I'm here with the Military Entrepreneurship Program. And that line got me more introductions in that conference than I think I deserved.
That's awesome. No, I mean, that's what we've been telling people again and again. I have the same experience. I know John Dumas has had the same experience when he talked about interviewing some top people, like Barbara Corcoran, I think I'm saying her name
Cochran.
Right, and some other, yeah, Cochran, and just like these really impressive people, and he did the same thing. So I encourage it to anybody who's out there. There's no reason to hide that fact. But, you know, moving on, again, it's also not something that's undeserved either, which is important to recognize. But one of the questions I have is, what's your total, again, if you can share this, what's the total cost or total amount of money and or hours that you put into this project so far? And expect to total put in by launch date?
So monetarily, I think total would be about $30,000. And that's not a lot. And when you think of the barrier to creating a game, at first, my thought was that money would be an issue. Like, man, it's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know. But it wasn't. It was only $30,000. And I say only, but, you know, there's some people out there that are at my rank, and they're driving $30,000 cars. You know, instead of driving a $30,000 car, I have a $4,000 1991 BMW soft top in Florida here, and I got a $30,000 game that I think to turn into a business. So that is the money. Now, the time, I would say from inception, from the idea, you really can't put an hour on it, because there are so many times throughout my day where I stop and I think, oh, this is a great option, or this is a great function I need to add, or I'll just be playing a game and I'll think, you know what, this we need to implement that into our game. So for 2.5, 3 years, it's been just nonstop.
Okay, so that's quite a bit of time to put into something before you actually launch. So 2 to 3 years, you're doing this on the side, you put in $30,000. It's not nothing to sneeze at, and now you're expecting to launch in December. So is the construct, or is that the case, what I've just shared?
Yes.
So now, what are your expectations when it comes to the launch on December 16th or December, whatever day it is in December? Is it December 16th?
Probably December 18th. 16th, I believe, is a Monday. 18th is a Wednesday. App launches on Wednesday are generally better received. So, yeah.
Okay, great. So what's the expectations for this? You know, what, and then we'll get into, you know, goals and metrics and stuff like that. But what's, yeah, you know, what are your expectations for this launch?
Well, in general, my expectation is to reach people I haven't had the opportunity to talk to, you know, outside of the military, just homes, you know, maybe in the northern states that are just sitting there Googling, you know, educational games. So my expectation is that I reach an audience that I wouldn't otherwise have been able to reach, and then possibly growing that grassroots.
From a financial standpoint, though, now let's talk about metrics. Let's talk about users or dollars or something like that, in terms of like the success. Because again, you put time and effort into this. You're launching it. You mentioned the word business. It is a business. You intend to make it a business. So tell me about the metrics that you're using to measure success or failure.
So on the Navi platform, which we'll be targeting, since talking to Fuhu, I've decided to target that platform because the parents that are going to buy the Navi are already seeking a platform for their kids to be a wholesome educational content. And so I think those are people that I can reach easier. And through Fuhu, obviously, I can reach them much easier. So now metrics, we're going to launch on the Navi at $1.99 with zero in-app purchases, which is completely different than our iOS and our Android version. It'll be free to download with in-app purchases of subjects, of quiz subjects. Now, in terms of numbers, I'm looking on the Navi to have 5,000 downloads in the first week during Christmas, and that'll translate to $10,000 of revenue. 30% of that would go to Fuhu. And then on Android and iOS, what I plan on doing is having the same number, but a little less on the dollar amount side.
Okay, great. And where do you get these? Are these just pulling out of thin air, or have you done a little bit of research and kind of gauged what a launch can make on this on the Navi platform as a featured app, for example?
You know, I haven't really asked them for numbers of other apps, but there are games on their platform that are pretty similar. So that's an option of mine. I've been really kind of developing the relationship only in the last couple weeks, really. So I haven't yet tried to do that. I found in this industry that no one likes sharing their real numbers about downloads. So that was a little bit hard in the beginning. Now, what I consider success, I've gauged on another app that's similar. It's going for the similar market. And I can judge how many downloads it has by using a couple industry metrics based on reviews. That what I think is, and this has been a mantra of mine since I began, as long as we're better than this game, then we'll be successful.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the cost. Are you, and I don't know, maybe you did say this, are you programming this yourself?
No. I tried, but no, I'm not going to program this myself. Now, it's being programmed by a team led by Kevin Loughran, who runs a company, Interactive Monster. It's a freelance programmer. Now, he has a team that's worked for Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, and they do a bunch of projects kind of on their own. He'll be doing all the art, all the programming, all the sound engineering.
Cool. So as far as like then when you took this idea, now we're kind of going a little bit backwards. I don't know. It's just kind of the way my brain works, so I apologize if people can keep up. Oh, by the way, also, if you guys are on the computer and you want to put in questions in the chat box, I'll ask them right now.
Yeah, I see the chat box.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So if anybody has any questions, Marianne, if you do, Mike, great to have you here. If you have any questions, Jeremy, same with you, man. Go ahead and write your questions in if you're curious about any piece of this, because I'm going to ask the things I'm curious about, and I hope they're helpful to you as well. But ultimately, it's for you guys, so I want this to be beneficial for you. But I'm going to continue to ask questions until I get some more stuff out of you, until you guys start sharing your questions. So tell me a little bit about, like, going back to the beginning. Like, you have this idea for a game, but I mean, man, there's a million games out there. This is competitive market space, and then educational games no less. I would assume that that's hyper competitive too, although I have no idea. And then the idea of, like, okay, I'm not going to be able to code this myself. I mean, how did you map that out and plan that out, or plan, as I say that loosely, but how did you approach that piece of it? Like, saying, okay, these are the things I'm going to do. This is the asset I bring to the table. This is my value add to this, versus what I need to kind of hire out a source or team up with to get done. Does that question make sense?
Well, the 9 questions you asked do make sense. Let me dissect that a little bit. Cool. First, what I want to say is one of the themes of building this business has been that there is no roadmap for being a game designer, to being a game design studio or whatever. There are roadmaps for on Google. You can search, you know, the 10 things you need to do to become a successful food truck chef or whatever. So you cannot find that about game design or game publishing. So that's been a theme. And to answer your questions, I think the best answer to that is the value that I added was time and experience in the product that I knew. So my time, I would go through and research and Google after Google, and I would find enough information to build a game design that I could hand to a programmer. Now, in the industry, not a lot of programmers do the game design themselves. They're the guys that punch in the numbers, the zeros and ones, and they know the program. But the design comes from someone else, maybe a publisher or someone in a business that needs a game that links to their business. So it's not an unheard of concept for someone to come in with a design and have it built by a different program.
Very cool. Okay, so now let's see if there's any questions. Marianne says, can you read her question? Or
yes, I can.
Cool. Just so everybody's who's listening, who might not be on the computer right now, Marianne asked, what was the military entrepreneurship program you were in when you went to the Inc. 5000? Great question.
The Inc. 5000 conference was actually only 3 weeks ago, and it was kind of fortuitous for me because obviously, my app is launching soon, and I made a lot of good introductions. So what it is Inc., about 3-4 years ago, at their conference, they invited a couple military entrepreneurs, and most of them veterans or spouses of veterans. So this time, after 6-7 iterations of this, they've offered 40 spots, 20 to people returning to the conferences and 20 new people. You pitch your business like any other, and they select you. And when they selected me, I had a different idea of what was going to happen when I got there, but I was prepared for pretty much anything. So the Military Entrepreneurship Program is a group of 40 business owners that are set aside almost at the Inc. 5000. You can imagine Inc. 5000 is a list of multi-million dollar companies run by, you know, really successful people, so with high growth. And so when we go in there and we have an opportunity to meet these people, I think it's just a tremendous opportunity for any veteran business to get involved with. And for me specifically, I was the only active duty person there, and that surprised me.
Very cool. Is that open to is it only sorry, you might have actually answered this, but can anybody get into that, or how is that selection done? Is it only like current active duty, or people just got out of the Army or military, can they go?
Well, it's a veteran program, but like I said, technically I'm not a veteran. All right, I'm active duty. So when I applied, I think that was just another one of the plugs that they could use to justify the program, was that we're not only letting veterans in, but active duty. And there's certainly been other active duty that have gone. I'm not the first, but I was the only one that time. Any spouse or veteran or active duty of either. So they can apply in the Inc. 5000.
Yeah, Marianne wants to, it seems like two questions here. One is, to, I think, clarification, 40 slots for veteran business owners. And the second question was Inc. as in the magazine Inc. or as in something else?
No, it's the magazine. They're kind of more on the tech side now on the website. But yes, it's Inc., the magazine that they list the 5,000 fastest growing companies. And it's 40 slots for veteran business owners. And I didn't take anyone with me, but there were certainly people there that took like their spouses or other people. But it's 40 businesses get selected. And it's not just for their conference. They also have one. It's kind of a mid-year conference called GrowCo. It'll be in April, and I hope to be back at that with a successful kind of David and Goliath kind of thing. I met the number one on the list who had 159,000% increase and was one of the very few companies that repeated on the list 2 years in a row. So I think it'd be interesting if I have some success with this game to go to Inc. and say, look, you know, I came in here just not even on the list, and I had an opportunity to shake a guy's hand, and it changed. It was a catalyst to my business. I would still be active duty, and I think it would be a great story in itself.
That's awesome. Marianas, are you incorporated? Or I guess also maybe the extended question there is, do you have some sort of business entity you set up? And tell us a little bit about that.
I do. It's Pillar Games LLC. I have a total of four owners, three very minority owners. They were contributors to the program, to the idea, to the design, and so I brought them in. They're all active duty. One of them's my brother, and we kind of all do this. We contribute. We get together on different designs or whatever.
Cool. Any recommendations on or reasons why LLC versus any other kind of legal entity?
You know, I'm not an expert on the legal side, and I will hire out some of the questions for the legal side. Now, I did raise money too, which kind of led me to research a little bit more of the legal side than I needed to. But I picked LLC because of advice given to me by someone who's not even currently finished with his legal degree, but he said that was a safe way to go. So that's what I did.
Cool, good stuff. So let me see what other questions I have here.
You're right on, Marianne.
Let me see. Okay, cool. Anybody else have any questions for Johnny? I'm looking through my notes real quick because I know there are a few things, and I did want to ask in more detail.
Okay, let me quickly ask or answer Marianne's how I raised my money.
Good question.
So, interestingly enough, when the military sends us over to Okinawa, they give us a pretty good paycheck just for the inconvenience of being over there. And just so happened that while I was over there, the yen was just plummeting. So the money that the Navy gave us was really not commiserate with the amount that we were able to buy. So we socked a lot of that away. And one of the lessons learned that I would give for any sailors now that I talk to is start early, start investing, start putting your money, because everyone's making more money than they need, especially in the military. And so that's kind of something I started really young. And when I got to Okinawa, it just so happened that I raised a lot more than I thought. So I put that aside. I made a real estate investment and reached out to family and friends. And by that time I had, I guess I now have six investors, all pretty much the same dollar amount. And really what it is, they're notes, they're convertible notes. So if I don't sell the business in 18 months, it'll be a 7% loan.
Oh, very cool. So maybe take us through that process a little bit, unless there's any other questions going on. But I'm kind of curious about that process of raising funds.
Okay.
Something I personally haven't done, so I have nothing to say on that, but I am curious about it.
Yeah, so like any family and funds round that I've kind of researched, really what they're doing is putting money into you. They're not going to research the business too much. They're not going to research the market for sure. As long as it sounds like a good idea and they know you, they're your family and friends. Now, a lot of people shy away from that, but what I did is I set myself up. Like I said, I have a real estate investment that's paying me now for the next 5 years. And that has the ability to pay for the business itself, but not right away. So this is kind of like a bridge that I've used family and friends, and they know it. They know that this is kind of an opportunity to help me out. But if the business has meteoric success, they will share in that success. It wasn't hard selling these family and friends once I got a product in their hands and they were able to see kind of the direction it was going. And now recently, since the Inc. 5000, I only had 2 weeks in the round left after the conference, but in sharing my experience with the conference, some people came in and say, oh, hey, I remember you sent me that email 18 months ago. You know, I'm willing to give you money now that you've kind of legitimized your success.
Very cool. I really like that. Okay, let's see. Mike is back in the house. Awesome. Mike, I don't know. Have you caught any of this, man? And feel free to unmute yourself and let us know that you're out there.
I am. I'm sorry. I've not caught a lot of this. I know there's a lot of this stuff going on, and I don't want to have you rehash everything, so I'm just going to sit here and see if I can get caught up here quick.
There you go.
Cool. And Marianne, you know, I apologize, Marianne. I muted you because the background noise I think was coming from yours. So if you tell me if you feel like it, you can try to unmute yourself. Otherwise, I'll unmute you, and then you can just go ahead and ask your questions. Do you want to? You're okay? Okay. what's going on, Mike? I think this is the first time I've seen you on video. Looking good, man. Very sharp. So Marianne asks, here it is. So your family holds notes. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. How does that work?
They do. And so I had the option, obviously, of just saying, hey, can you give me some money? I'll pay you back, right? But something I've wanted to do with this and with other opportunities I've had is just to share in the success. And, you know, they're family and they're friends, so I love them. And some of them don't even need it. You know, some of them wouldn't need the 7% that I'd pay them at the end of the time period, but others would. You know, so I wanted to create an opportunity for success for them if it did get really big, right? But the other option is if I grow the business slowly, I'll pay them back as soon as, you know, the time period ends. But yes, they do hold notes, and that's so that's about it on the convertible equity.
Anything crazy that you had to do in terms of I guess working the documents contractually or anything like that? I know it's family and friends, so
yeah,
there's obviously like some slack there, but it sounds like the way you're describing it, you did things by the book. So, what went into actually, you know, working the contract? Did you have to hire up a lawyer, or did you just do your own contracts? How did that go?
Well, I did my own contracts, and there's plenty of places to research this, and something I've done in the business is I've had to completely shift my mind toward one focus for a certain amount of time. So for a two-week process, my mind was only focused on how to set up something that I could use, an instrument that other people could use to invest in my business. And so I did, and I created three documents. The first was just kind of the idea, right? It was the terms. And then the second was the actual purchase agreement. And then the third was the note. So it wasn't too difficult. But like you said, they're family and friends. It could be on a sticky note and still be, you know, held up in court. But I did want to kind of reassure them that if everything did go huge, right, we wouldn't have too many investors looking into our business and saying, why do I have a sticky note that says you're paying your grandma $3,000?
Gotcha. Yeah, and that makes sense. I know it's not – you really weren't doing this for, you know – for the purposes that I think a lot of contracts are made, you know, to protect you or something like that, or protect them or something like that. It was just more, I see where you're coming at this from. So that makes sense. Marianne, any other questions? Jeremy, you've been quiet, man. I'd love to hear if you have any questions about this. And then same with you, Mike. I know you just drop it in now. So Jeremy just asked a question. Branching off of contracts, how did copyright go? Are there any steps you needed to take to protect your product? So actually, I'm going to dovetail that question. Copyright, which I'm guessing you actually didn't have to deal with much at all, but maybe, so I'd be interested. And then trademarking or anything like that, any kind of requirements in that field. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see what you had to say about that.
So not too much copywriting. What I realized early on was that you have two ways you can go. You could not tell anybody about your business, right, and your idea and this great product you have, and then when it launches, hope that it catches fire, right? So a lot of people think that that's how games work, right? That's how business works. There's a lot of tightly held secrets. But what I decided to do was tell everybody, let them contribute, and then mold my product to what they suggested. So I couldn't really copyright much of it. Now, in terms of trademarking, only because it's been so recently that we changed some of these names, I didn't want to trademark anything too soon. We've changed the name from some long, ridiculous name to Quiz Hero. That's the name of the game. And if you see my website, they've got the logo there. So those are the only things that I would trademark at this point. And then the next thing is in building a business around a product, I really had to develop this platform called the Pillar Platform. We'll trademark that. And what the Pillar Platform is the bottom interface in the game. If you see any of the pictures of it, that's just a quiz engine. It's just a basic three questions. You answer the question in a certain time, and it generates a response. And so we're going to take that into different genres of games. But we need to identify that as the Pillar Platform in order to transfer that to a different genre and maintain some of the identity of the business.
On that note, actually, I'm really curious about this. And again, guys, if you have any questions, you know, feed them right into the chat box. We talked, okay, trademark. Oh, patents. Have you had to deal with anything like that? Will you have to deal with anything like that? I mean, when it comes to video games and proprietary technology, I'm never quite sure. So tell us a little bit about that.
There is an opportunity, or there was at one point, to develop the quiz engine in such a way that it would be patentable, but it wasn't something that we tried doing, because what we wanted is something simple, and there are people out there that have crazy algorithms for how to select questions and ranking the questions on difficulty from 1 to 500. When I realized how time-consuming that would be, I just decided it was ridiculous to hold that. Someone wants to make a quiz game, they can make a quiz game. For instance, 2048, if you look at that game, right, that's been cloned over and over and over and over. So, or Flappy Birds, all these things get cloned, right? But that's only after meteoric success of the original business. And by that time, we'll already have the Pillar Platform set, and that's what our customers will expect.
Cool. That's a good answer. I like it.
All right, to Mike's question, what experiences or training that you got from the Navy, have helped you in your business? Well, not specifically the Navy giving me, but my trade in the Navy is an RP, religious program specialist. So I worked with a chaplain early on at my first command. He was a fighter pilot turned Jewish Orthodox rabbi. And he sat me down and gave me some of the best leadership advice I've ever been given. And then on my way out towards Okinawa, he gave me some financial advice as well that I think I wouldn't be here with a business today if I hadn't got that advice. And so the experiences and training that I got from the Navy were really how to manage my life in such a way that I have the opportunity to take the step forward and to make those risk decisions.
Hey, appreciate it. Quick sidebar. I'm a chaplain. I'm a reserve
chaplain. I saw the cross in the back there.
Yeah. And
are you also wearing a Denver Broncos shirt?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm in Nebraska, but I was 8 years active. Just question, who was the chaplain? Who was the Jewish chaplain?
Aaron Kleinman.
Okay, I'm not sure if I know him, but that was here recently in the past, what, 5-10 years?
7 years ago in Great Lakes, Illinois.
Okay. And what was the leadership advice that he gave to you?
Well, without going too much into the story, I was so junior as my first command. I had rose through the ranks so quickly. Within 2 years, I had become a second-class petty officer. So, and the leadership around me was dissolving. There was another second class who was LPO for a very long time, and he literally quit. He wanted to go be the admiral's driver instead of be the LPO of our department of like 8. And so what was interesting is we are all in a boardroom, whatever, and we were talking, and they said, okay, who wants to be it? And without even thinking, I raised my hand. You know, like, who wouldn't raise their hand, right? Well, there was all this trepidation around who was going to raise their hand to be. And so at that point, the captain decided to make me the LPO and just go with it. And Chaplain Kleinman really put his weight behind me and said, you know what? And incidentally, he's also an Academy grad. So he does have a foundation of leadership that that I've really become to trust.
Very cool.
We got one. Another one from Marianne.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Just whenever I get some good stuff.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Mike. And who ya?
All right.
So Marianne says, Johnny, what are some thoughts you held back in the beginning? In the beginning of this conference call or in the beginning of the business?
I'm going to go ahead and say beginning of the business, but I'm sure she'll elaborate. Maybe
I haven't held anything back in this call.
That's right.
Hey, so in the business and even early on, oh, read it again. Some of your thoughts that held you back. Thanks. Comprehension's not up to par right now. I would say time management is one thing that held me back because, you know, I'd go to work and I'd work really hard and I would compartmentalize my duties in the military and then I'd get home and think, okay, now is my time to, you know, kind of rest. And rest became this thing that I just, you know, decided that I wasn't going to do. So I'd get home after my work, I'd compartmentalize my work, I'd shut that side of myself off, and then I'd turn my entrepreneur hat on and I'd get back to work. When the kids go to sleep, I do a bunch of research, you know, much to my wife's chagrin, but I do a lot of research into the market.
Do you have any, you know, consternation or fear that you put so much time and effort into this thing that it launches and you don't hit 5,000 downloads in December? Like, what happens if you hit less than 1,000? What's your metric for failure? And then if that happens, then what? Have you thought about that?
Well, the good part about the way I've set up the business is even if I get zero downloads, I will pay off all of my investors through this real estate investment or that I've made earlier. I'll pay off all of my investors. I'll walk away. I'll learn some lessons, and I'll start a new company within, you know, 2-3 years doing something else. But I really don't see that happening. And if you asked me that question 2 months ago, I would have had a much longer answer because I was more worried about it. But really, we've refined the product so much, and my programmer and the team that he works with, they've really come on board and given me advice in such a way that it makes it as much their product as it is mine. And they have 15 years experience in the business. So I'm not too fearful about failure, but I do realize that there is a risk to it.
Do you have any thoughts? Do you feel like you moved slow on this at all in terms of that it took you, you know, over the course of, like, I know you were side hustling and you're building it on the side, but
yeah.
Any thoughts in the back of your mind saying, okay, you know, I did these things slow. I could have done this a lot faster looking back on it.
Well, the business has been in two phases. Phase one was learning experience, right? Many people go to college and they learn game design. They wait till they get out of their college experience and then they build a game, right? Well, I just did that on Google while I was also working, you know, full time and also pursuing a business administration degree. There was a point at which I had to take the next step forward. All right, I had to put the money down. I had to sign a contract with my developer and say, this is what we're going to do. And that came, I want to say in July when we really settled here into Pensacola, Florida, and we decided that we had the money to do it and there was no reason not to. And so we pushed the button. And then since then, it's been every day I get emails. I have to send documents, game development documents. I have to confirm artwork. I mean, every day it's been a mad rush. So while it has been a long time, it's only been in the last 3-4 months that it's been crazy busy as it is.
It's cool. Well, you know, I will say so I was just seeing if there's any other questions or comments. I think it's fascinating. I'll be interested actually to talk to you at the end of December to see how it goes actually. And to get your take on it then, just to get some, you know, to get that first round of feedback from, you know, a paying audience, a paying customer, which I think is valuable. And then on that note, you haven't had any paid beta users yet, have you, or anything like that?
No.
It's all just testers. Okay. So that'll be the true validation, would you say that that's the case?
I would, and like I said about the question 2 months ago, because of the Inc. 5000 conference and my introduction to the business development team at FUHU, I have really kind of shed that idea of the failure aspect being something I need to really count. You know, like when the users start coming in, when the downloads start coming, I'll have to kind of take a look at where they're stopping to play, all the analytics involved with games, and then kind of do a retweak every couple weeks to figure out how to best tool the game to my users. And since meeting FUHU, I've decided I'm just going to do that anyway, and I'm not going to worry about, you know, whether or not they don't come. I'm just going to react to the few that do.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome.
GrowCo is in April, and I hope to go. They do have a selection process, but I think that my mindset going into this last conference was so different that I think they will welcome me back. I hope so.
Cool. Question. This is hypothetical as well. I just looked at the negative if it doesn't pan out.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because so I don't now, spend a lot of time doing that.
Well, hey, it's just good to clarify, right?
You know,
sometimes we hide the negatives from ourselves. At least I know I do. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to look at the positive. And it's like, but you have to prepare for the bad, right? And I think there's a cliched line out there that says something to that effect. Maybe even an army phrase. I don't know. I can't think of it. But so what is it? Prepare for the worst? Whatever. So my question is now, let's look at it. What if it succeeds? What if you hit 5,000 downloads? What's the next step then for you in this platform?
I think that if I hit 5,000 downloads, I'll hit 30,000 downloads. Because if that first set goes really well and the Nobby platform performs as I hope it does, we will lean in to the Nobby platform, and we've built the business. Now, because I have a team and I'm able to bounce these questions off of, I have a 10-phase program, all right? So phase one was learn, right? Phase two was launch, and phase three is grow. And now my grow phase has two iterations of the current game. So the storyline ends, in the current development, the storyline ends with a twist, right? And so if it twists and the users get to that point and they give me feedback and they review my game and I can tell based on the analytics that they really like the game, then as soon as that happens, I'm clicking play on the next iteration of the storyline. And there's two additions to the storyline of the current game. So the current game will grow in size. Now, after that, we'll have two different genres as well. So right now it's a role-playing game, and we'll move to right now our thought is a racing game, where instead of attack, inventory, defend, you have gas, or like accelerate, nitro, and brake. And then based on certain situations, you'd have to use two of the three or one of the three, and then answer a question and get your result based on that. And then I said 10 phases. If we make millions of dollars and we have an opportunity to separate out of the military and sit down and really work on something, we have what we think is a great idea. It's the combination of Lumosity brain training games and popular MOBAs like Dota, something that users can go to and train their brains and then use that success they've gained from brain trainers like Lumosity and then plug that into a real game.
Very cool. I have a question. I'm going to try to remember it. But first, Marianne said, do they have a military portion of slots at GrowCo?
Military portion of slots?
Slots designated for veterans or activity?
Yeah, it's the same 40-40 program. Oh, okay. But GrowCo is kind of different than the conference. So they do offer the same thing. And it's just as useful. There's still a mentor fair. There's still an opportunity to shake and bake and meet some good people. So. Yes, I am still active duty, Mike. I just took my uniform off, and tomorrow I'm going back.
And, yeah, he is entering the education market for the apps game that he's producing.
So, but to that point, education market is a little bit different than the game market, and we're trying to identify a place in the 9 to 14-year range that leans more toward game and has more of an understated education aspect. So it's not very educational, but it's very academic. The questions we ask are questions we expect our users to know anyway. So we're not really teaching people anything academic, but we're offering them an opportunity to use the skills that they currently have. And also the storyline is very values-based, so it does kind of add a value to that as well.
Very cool. What was my question? Oh, I was going to ask, I had to, I'm going to ask the one that's on my mind right now. When you've been doing this for the last, I mean, you've done all this on the side, so what are any specific tools or resources that you use that have been fundamental to managing a project like this? So that's actually, okay, that's the first question. The second part of that question is, how do you maintain focus over a long period of time to focus on this one thing before you have results? To spend a year or more working on something and to not have feedback, but to continue to build, you know, to that launch, you know, how do you maintain focus? So the first part is the tools, resources, and the second part is the focus.
Okay, so to your tools and resources, let me talk about a book real quick called Hooked by Nir Eyal. Great product development book. And when I was turned on to that, interestingly enough, by the same guy who sent me to Inc.com, which led me to see the Military Entrepreneurship Program. He was a friend of mine who's the director of religious education at the chapel I worked for at first, but real good business mind as well. He turned me on to that book, Hooked, right? And if you do get a chance, look at the Hooked model of product development, and specifically as it applies to apps, the tool that I used was getting on every level of my game that model playing out. So you start with someone wanting something, right? Then you give them something, then there's a reward, an opportunity to gain a reward, and there's investment involved in that. So not just on the small scale where I'm answering a question, I'm going to get the question right, my attack is going to complete, right? Then I'm back to, I still have investment, I still have to continue playing this game, right? Now, at the end of that, on a larger scale as well, the game has to give that model on a grander scale, and it does. Now, I'd say that's the best tool. The other thing, I don't know if I'd call it a tool. She won't like me calling it a tool, but my wife has been instrumental in maintaining balance in order to allow me to get crazy sometimes. So I have two small kids, and you can imagine I'm also taking college courses toward a business administration degree. Our life is pretty crazy, but we intentionally put time into certain things so that nothing goes to waste. And you know, she has been a tool, I would say, to sanity check a lot of what I'm doing and to just say, you know what, maybe that does sound stupid, but let's do it anyway, you know. And I've really been thankful for her. So that kind of segues into focus as well, in that like I said from the beginning, because I have an entrepreneurship mind, I set phase one as kind of, it's not a do or die. I could learn and learn and learn. If I didn't like what I did, I'd turn that off and learn about real estate investing or learn about something else, right? So phase one, once it was green, once I was done with phase one and moved into phase two, launching the product, my focus really honed in. So I stopped researching everything else, real estate investment. I stopped really researching anything else, only focused on all my free time was going to creating a good product.
Very cool. I like it, Marianne. Good stuff. Well, I guess I and Johnny, if you have to, I was gonna try to cap this at 60 minutes to respect your time.
That's on you, man. I have devoted many hours to this. If you need so.
Cool. Well, I want to open the floor for everybody. You know, you guys have a few more minutes if you want to ask some questions. And if Johnny spends a little bit more time with us, if you guys have questions, ask him now. Otherwise, well, I'll just open the floor right now and see what comes out.
I'd appreciate not contacting at navy.mil.
No, that's right. Makes sense.
What's that?
That makes sense. I'm sorry. What would be a good way to contact you?
Well, just in terms of the business, now, as it applies to helping sailors kind of get to a point where they can build their own businesses, I don't mind, but I really shy away from sending business emails on that. Now, I am at Johnny, Johnny.pillargames feedback@gmail.com. And our website does have a feedback form, too, if you just want to shoot me a link and I can email you back. About anything, really. About all the chaplains you've interacted with or your horror stories with RPs. So it's nice to meet you, Mike.
You as well. Very impressed. And, I've seen some great RPs, some great chaplains, some not so, but good. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. All right, so what the question next was, Mary Ann's, was the real estate just to have passive income? This was an opportunity that came up. My grandfather, without going into too many details, my grandfather was ailing and didn't want to keep his land. He was just going to move into a nursing home, and he was going to give his land back after paying for it for years and years and years. And no one in my family had the funds to put up to pay his bill, right? And so because I was in Okinawa and gaining so much money and saving and being fiscally responsible, I had it. My mother approached me. She said, this is an opportunity. No one else can do this. And so I did. I bought it, turned around and sold it. It was a vacant piece of land, and it is now is under contract to be a five-year payment of $50,000, which will go, passive income to me. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And really what that did is that freed up the question of money, because while I did gather money from investors, like I said earlier, I don't have to worry if it fails, because that's always going to be my backup plan. And we purchased a house here in Pensacola, Florida, and really if everything else fails, we still live and we still, go about our daily business. So like I said, it'll just be a learning experience and I'll go on to the next thing.
Very cool. Cool, guys. Well, if there's anything else, put it out there. Otherwise, Johnny, just want to say thanks so much for showing up today and for sharing with us your journey and what you're developing. I definitely want to be in touch still and find out how everything goes in December. And then before that, even if you just need help with anything, promotion or whatever, just let us know. I'm sure we can share it through High Speed Low Drag and through our other platforms and stuff like that to help support you. But man, keep me posted on everything. I'm excited to see how this this pans out for you, and I think it will be a success, so it's very cool.
Yeah, thanks for your time. And I really do appreciate the questions coming from all angles, and really just Mike coming from a chaplain's perspective. Really, my opportunity to sit down and talk with you guys is something that I didn't think I would have, and reaching out to podcasts has really kind of opened my mind to how I can
unmuted
do things that I've kind of learned just through experience. So thanks for the opportunity, Tom, and I will get back to you. And what we're doing is we're going to fly up. The launch coincides with my wife's anniversary, and she always wanted to ice skate in New York. So turns out my team, they live in New York, so we're going to fly up there, and in the same week we're going to ice skate on Central Park and then launch the game at some coffee shop in the middle of Manhattan or something like that. Me and my programmer are going to get together for the first time, shake hands, and click the button on the iPad.
Dude, that's exciting. Congratulations. That'll be a lot of fun.
Hey, Johnny, can you hear me? Am I coming in?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I just wanted to say you are very I'm just listening to you talking. I don't hear very many active people that have such a firm control on business concepts. Where do you go to, in a sense, to sharpen your sword?
Right now, I take classes at Liberty University. You may have heard of it. It's a chaplain farm, really. But really, to answer your question, I'd say I go to people I know have had success and failure. But it's all based on the experiences that other people have had. I've just kind of molded my journey based on what they've done.
Good stuff. I was just wondering, if you were maybe a fan of Mixergy or some of the other our favorite websites, maybe Pat Flynn over at Smart Passive Income. Sounds like you know what you're where you're headed, and I like the confidence.
Hey, thanks a lot. I don't have really any nuggets of any websites really. Podcasts, when I keep myself physically fit, because the Navy tells me I need to. I listen to podcasts, I listen to books, I listen to everything while I run. I've heard it said before on this podcast that, no more Miley Cyrus, and so I took that to heart a couple months ago.
Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Antonio, anything else?
Well, you know, I always want to add a Semper Fi just for the Marine Corps.
Hey, hoorah.
but no, this has been good stuff. What I'll take this, guys, is we will transcribe this. There was a lot of great info. Turn this one into an article, and but also at the same time, it was good info for the guys that are looking to take this to the next level. And maybe because it sounds like after the launch goes, maybe we would end up doing Tom and John and I, we've talked about just doing interviews separate from or possibly having an interview. Maybe even set something up with John of Entrepreneur on Fire at some point. So
that sounds like a great idea. And I'd love to give an honest feedback. If it doesn't go well, I still want to talk to you because I still want to be able to say, you know what, this is what I did, and you know, I'm going to still have the same result.
Cool. That's awesome.
Thanks, gentlemen. And Mary.
Awesome. Thank you, Johnny.